Well, this morning we start a new series. It's a whole new year, and as Thomas said, we are kind of wrapping up the end of the Christmas season, the Advent, and usually 6 days after Christmas, around the 6th of January, is what they call the Epiphany, which is when supposedly the wise men showed up at the Nativity. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 2. If you would, over on the microphone one, I think it says lapel. Pull it down just a little bit, would you? Thank you, that's better. All right. So I make y'all listen to me. I don't like to hear me. But we're in Matthew chapter 2, and what has happened at this point is, just like everything with the Christmas season, Mary and Joseph have traveled to Bethlehem. They have given birth to the Savior. And at this point, we could get caught up in the whole idea of, were the wise men actually there? Did they really show up at the manger, at the stable, at that house? Well, we don't know. What we know is that they are part of the story. They do come into play here. And it is important to look at them. And one of the things as we start this new series is called Good News. This is what we're going to be going through. We're going through the four Gospels as a harmony. All four Gospels were written about the same story, and it was the life and times of Jesus Christ, the life and ministry of what Jesus had done. And it's good news. It's great news. But that's literally what the term gospel means. It means good news. And so we're going to look at it, and we're going to find that, you know, there's some stuff that Matthew and Luke both have. And so we'll be getting creative, and there'll be some mashing together of the passages to read as one story. And I think it's important that we look at this, because they are four separate books, but they're not four separate stories. They're four different views of the same story. And it's important that we go through this, and it's going to be a good long series, so get used to the words good news. But this morning we're going to start with the journey. And that's what this morning's is. It's just journey. And we get into Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, now this is what it says. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then behold, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, so that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you just speak to us this morning. Speak through me, Jesus. Have us to hear what you need us to hear. Have me say what needs to be said. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. So every journey, you've heard it said, every journey begins with a single step, right? You can't go anywhere unless you get moving. Y'all agree with that? You're not on a journey unless you're moving in some way, shape, or form. Sure, you could sit down in a car. Somebody else could drive the car. That would make you on a journey. But you're moving. All right? There has to be movement to go on this journey. And this morning, I'm going to look at some steps for following God's leading in this idea and how this applies into our lives. Especially, and this is always a good message at the beginning of the year, as we begin to look at, all right, what are we going to do this year? All right, I'm not the typical pastor, and most of y'all are going, well, duh. But so the reality is a lot of pastors this time or this Sunday would be going, here's what we're going to do in 2020. 2020, let's look ahead. Let's make our resolution or revolution or whatever illusion they want to call it. All right, we're very kitschy with coming up with fun things to say. Like I said, I've been hearing for months now about every church is going to have 2020 vision because it's 2020, right? And it sounds cool. That's perfect vision. You have 2020 vision. I don't want 2020 vision. I want bigger than 2020 vision. I want whatever God's vision is. All right? And I have a feeling God's vision is a whole lot clearer and a whole lot better than 2020. All right? And so I'm going to go ahead and speaking on the vision thing, I'm going to apologize right now because I have my glasses on this morning. Normally I wear contacts. But part of the thing, joy about being cold, having this cold in the contacts is it bothered my eyes. Okay? Now what you don't know is these glasses are about two prescriptions past where my contacts are. All right, so most of y'all are kind of blurry right now, so you could be making faces, and I'm fine with that. But this is also going to mean that I am pulling the, I just had a birthday also, so what this means is the birthday and the glasses are all hitting at once, and so everything I need to do is like, I can't see stuff. All right, so just if you're wondering why is Lee lost, that's why, because I can't find where I'm at, okay? But just a fair warning, all right? So the glasses may make me look smarter, but they don't, all right? That's just the way it is. But as we begin to talk about this, I think there's some stuff that we can get to. And I love the story of the wise men. Now, again, we can get caught up in it. How many wise men are there? What does Scripture say? Does it really? See, so Scripture doesn't actually say how many wise men there were. But we see that there were three gifts, so we've always put the term three. All right? We just sang a song, "We three kings of Orient are." It's not, the Scripture doesn't say it anywhere. It could have been one, it could have been 10, it could have been 100. For all we know. But again, that doesn't matter. It's a fun thing to think about. Did they actually show up while they were still in the stable? Well, there's a whole other question. Wherever they were, wherever they gave birth, well, here it says they saw the Mary and the child at the house. Wait a minute. That's not a stable. So where were they? And we've taken terms and we've looked at the context and everything else, and we know that when Herod sees this, Herod gets upset. And if we talk about this, and I love how the king, how these guys, they saw the star, they saw God's sign. They traveled to where it should be. They went to the right place. They went to the palace to find the king. Well, when they asked the king who was there, where is the king? It says that Herod was troubled. Well, yeah, he was king. Do you think he wanted another king to be born? Probably not. Should he have as a good Jewish man? He should have. Because the coming Messiah was something that the people of Israel had been longing and looking for years and years and years. Ever since Abraham, they've been waiting for the Messiah. But it says he was troubled and all of his city with him. But I want us to look, as we think about this, and we look at some of the stuff here, the first thing I want us to understand this morning is that the path is there. We just have to follow where God is pointing. Okay? We have a path that God is leading us on, each and every one of us, whether it's individually, God has put us on a path. As a church, God has put us on a path. And I believe that as we travel this path, God brings our travel companions alongside us with us. Okay, because I don't know about y'all, and one of the things, as a Boy Scout, I remember we used to do these canoe trips. They were loads of fun. Put young men in a boat with a paddle and say, go. It never works out like that. Okay, and as I was older, and my dad got to be the one with some of the troubled kids, and so we got to switch and everything else like that, and I was with one kid, he wouldn't behave, so they put him in the boat with my dad. Well, I was in the boat with his dad, and his dad decided to sit up front. Well, I weighed like about 100 pounds back then. All right, I've grown a lot, by the way, but I weighed like 100 pounds back then, and his dad did not. The back of the boat was out of the water. I'm trying to, and there was nothing working, you know? And so we always had these fun times on these canoe trips where it's like, sit down. And this is the same father and son. They flipped over a canoe. They've had stuff. But one of the things you find out that as you're on stuff like this, if the person you're traveling with doesn't have the same goal that you do, it gets troublesome, especially when you're trying to paddle. And I learned this on the Nantahala River. As I was telling adults, paddle hard, paddle hard, paddle hard, and they refused to listen to a teenager. And I went backwards over a rock and then got shot out of the boat into the cold, cold water in the Nantahala River because they wanted to do their own thing. They thought they knew, and I was in charge, and they didn't like that. And so sometimes what happens when we get into these situations, when we're traveling along the way, if we're not traveling with those people that God wants us to be with, they can pull us and try to pull us in different directions, and it makes it difficult. How many people have used GPS in their car? Has anybody ever had an argument with GPS in their car? Right? Yeah. Take your next right. No, I know a better way. Why even have the GPS? But see, that's what we do. We do the same thing with God. God is saying, go here, go here, go here. I got a better way to go. And see, he's put this path there. If you look at these guys, the wise men, these magi, these magicians, these sorcerers, these stargazers, whatever word you want to throw in there, and that's really what magi is. It's the sorcerers, this idea. They were scientifically kind of based. So they looked at the stars. They were into the astronomy. And so they knew from Scripture that a sign would be given to them. And they saw it. They saw the star in its rising. When the star came up, they said, that's the sign. How did they know the sign was there? They were looking for it. So many times we miss where God is trying to lead us because we're not even looking. We're just doing our own thing. Now, these guys are from another country. Notice the Israelites didn't even notice the sign, did they? No religious leader in Israel went, wait, I see it. The Messiah has been born. None of them. They weren't looking for it. But these were. The path is there. We just have to follow where God's pointing. And that's what they did. They saw the sign. They said, let's pack our stuff. Let's go. And it says they came from the east. Now, there's a lot, again, speculation on where they came from. Many say Persia. And if you think about this day and time compared to Israel, most of these places that would have taken place would be either Iran or Iraq at this point in time. And you think about the way in the Old Testament when they were taken, Israel was taken into captivity, they were taken to places like Babylon and Persia and spread out. And as part of that, a lot of the Jewish people stayed behind. So they would have been told, they would have learned the story of this coming king. And when they saw it, they saw the star, they said, we've got to go. Let's pack our camels and get out of here. And they loaded up, they brought their gifts, and they took off to find the Savior, find the Messiah. The second thing we have to do is we have to be careful who we listen to along the way. They went to Herod. King Herod had his own agenda, did he not? He should have wanted to see the Messiah. He should have been excited about the birth of the king, but a Messiah, a new king of Israel, a king of the Jews, what would that have meant for him? He was out of a job. And sometimes when we do things, especially in church, this is one of the hard things that we always have to deal with. Is that if we're doing things or we're in positions or we have functions of ministry that we're doing and God is saying, we need to do this. A lot of times we want to protect what we do, what we believe our ministry is, instead of giving way to the rightful one that God has that's coming next. And it doesn't mean there's not a place for that person. It doesn't mean Herod didn't have a place even in this story. We don't know what would have happened with Herod had he gone and praised Jesus, had he worshiped the king. I mean, we know that that wasn't going to happen because we know that Jesus didn't come to set up that earthly kingdom at this point in time. He was coming as the Savior, not the King at this point. But we have to be careful who we listen to along the way because not everybody out there has our best interest in heart. Let's face it, we're human, right? We all have our own agenda. Whether we want to believe it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, there's always going to be something. That's just the way we are. The biggest things are the simplest things that divide churches. Should we have pews? Should we have chairs? Oh, let's split a church. Should we sing a praise song? Should we stay in the hymnal? Oh, let's split a church. I don't like the color of the carpet. It's crazy, is it not? All the stuff that's going on in the world, but we have these agendas. We all have that, and it's natural. It's okay. All right? There's things trust me, ask my family, do I have my way of doing things? All right, there's too much laughter from the back there. Or an example, how do you load a dishwasher? Careful. My way. Right. All right. And so this is the reality. There's a way I've learned it. There's a way I think it works better, blah, 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 blah. And I have every excuse known to man. But then there are those that want to help. And then what I find out by doing this, and eventually I will learn it, I know it, but knowing it and learning it are two different things. Y'all realize that, right? It's like I know something, but to actually learn it means that I put it into practice. I know that going in and complaining or making and banging around dishes and rearranging the dishwasher, people hear that and know that, and that makes them not want to do what? Help out and load the dishwasher. All right? Do it yourself. You like it that way? And that's just the way it is. And that's on me. So I quietly rearranged the dishwasher. But no, I mean, that's what, so you learn these things. You know, the same thing happens with us. If we make too much noise, if we fuss too much and we complain too much, that easily makes people go, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to be a part of it. And there are literally those that want to destroy the church. I pray that we do not ever let them in here. But I just saw that in an article that yesterday, I believe it was, or Friday, whatever day this is, you can no longer call it the United Methodist Church. They're not united anymore. They have split over issues of women in ministry and homosexuality. Fall where you want to on them, but the Bible is clear. And there are those within that church that have gone and said, no, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it is. This is the way it should be. But there are those that are, no, that's not the truth. The truth of the Scripture is this. We have to be careful who we listen to. You know what? And that's even good people. All right, trust me. I have a bookshelf full of books. I have a whole row of books that tell you how to grow a church, how to double your Sunday school in 10 days. How to do all this stuff. And it all sounds great, right? Until you bring it to the church that it wasn't written for. See, every one of these people had a church that they practiced this stuff in and did it in, and it worked great for their church. And it's good stuff, good ideas, but does it mean that it works here? No. And that's probably been frustration after frustration for so many people throughout the years working in churches and doing stuff and going, well, I read this book and it should work, right? Well, no, that's a book for a church of 1,000 people. We can't make that ministry happen with 20. It's not a knock on it. It just ain't going to happen. The numbers don't work. So how do we adjust? You see what I'm saying? So we have to be careful who we listen to along the way. Number three, sometimes the answer is not found where we think it will be. See, the wise men weren't lost. They went to the place where the king should have been, did they not? All they knew that the king would be born. Look for his sign. When the star appeared, they followed that and they went to where it was. They went to the place that any king should be, the palace. But that's not where the answer was. That's not where Jesus came to. Jesus came to a lowly stable or be laid in a manger with animals around him. Why? Because he was coming as the Lamb of God, not as the King of Kings. You know, and sometimes that answer is not where we think it is. That's why we got to follow where God is leading us. Number four, our gifts are meant to be used for the King. See, God has given each one of you in here some kind of gift. A spiritual gift, if you don't want to call it a spiritual gift, you can call it a secular gift. I don't know whether it's singing or anything like that, but I think anything you do for the King becomes a spiritual gift. If it's cutting grass, you really love to cut grass, and that's a gift and a passion you have, maybe you're really good at it, I don't know. If you do it for the glory of God, then hey, guess what, it's a spiritual gift. All right, it doesn't have to be all thou blottest God, you know, type of, all right? Whatever you do for the glory of God is your spiritual worship. It's your gift to Him. The gifts that we're given are not meant to be used and stored. They're meant to be given to the King. Now, three gifts were presented, and these are kind of old world traditional type of gifts that you bring for a king. Gold was one of those. Frankincense and myrrh. Now, we all know what gold is, right? Most of us either have a wedding band or jewelry or a tooth. I don't know. What we have something that's gold somewhere. If we don't have it, we've seen it. If you're like me, you watch Gold Rush on Friday nights. I don't know. That's, you know, it's a good show. All right, we know what gold is. We know that that's one of those things that's usually equated with rich people, is it not? When you think a crown, what color is a crown? Gold. So that's the kingly treasure. That's for us, though, it's just our wealth. If we were to bring our gold, our wealth, our finances, our treasures to the king, what would they be? Now, I don't literally mean you have to bring your gold. I'm not, you know, we've got this jar over here. We're collecting pennies and dimes and nickels. We're going to change the world by bringing change in. And can it happen? Absolutely. Think of the little kid. 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's all I got. That's all right. I can handle that. I can work with that. Just bring what we've been given. Let God tell you what to do with it. Really, it becomes a matter of the heart. It's a matter of saying, Jesus, you know what I have. It's all yours. Use it as you see fit. Lead me in the way that you want me to use it. And then listen and follow. Frankincense, fun word to say. It was actually one of the spices used in the temple. One of the incense they would burn. For us, this is our worship. We bring the gift of worship to the king. Myrrh is actually a spice often used for embalming. Now, it was also a spice that was rare and valuable, but it was one of those that they used to prepare the body after death. Foreshadowing of what would happen for Jesus? Probably. A gift from the place where the wise men came from? Probably. Wealthy gift, a sign of honor and tribute to a king? For sure. For us, it just means we bring our lives. What does God want from you? Simple. Everything. It's that simple. He wants it all. He deserves it all. Does he not? Matter of fact, he's given his all for us. As we exit the Christmas season, we've spent this time celebrating the birth of the Savior, the birth of Jesus Christ coming into this world. And he came for a purpose. To die. To shed his blood for us. That's the reality of Christmas. The least we could do, the least we could do would be to give him all we have. Because see, he was God in the flesh. He was a third part of the Trinity, or the second part, whichever way you want to order it. But he was part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He's eternal. He's given everything. He stepped into this world for us. We're nothing but a bunch of dirty sinners. I mean, Paul says our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. The best we can do is just old nasty rags. It's worthless. But that's all we've got. That's all we can do. That's all God wants. Just give me your all. Are we willing to do that? Our gifts are meant to be used for the king. Our resources, our time, our energy, our lives, our worship. Everything we do is for the glory of God, or should be. In just a minute, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. Starting off a new year. Coming together to celebrate not only the birth of the Messiah, but the death, burial, and resurrection of that same Messiah. See, it comes full circle. He was born to die. And he came and shed his blood for us. So as I pray, if we could have the ushers that are going to be serving come on forward and prepare the table. If you would, please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that He came born in such a humble way, putting on the flesh of humanity, but coming to shed His perfect blood for our sins. Scripture talks about receiving the Lord's Supper in a manner worthy. God, we are not worthy by any stretch of the imagination to even begin to touch what you've done. So God, I pray that we just take a moment. If there's anything within us, God, that we just lay it before your altar. If there's anyone here who has never made that decision and says, you know what, I don't even know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. God, I pray that they would just turn their heart to you right now. God, we just thank you. Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated.